Have you ever traveled somewhere that you've never gone before? My thought on this is, as some from the church have, Mifflinburg's known for work and witness trips, and the next one sounds like they're going to Suriname. And I think there's probably, most of us could agree that we've gone somewhere where we have never been. A place where you really don't know anybody. You really don't know what to expect. And you really don't know the exact route or the exact way to get to the destination of where you want to go. Well, this morning, I want to share with you all a story that happened to me recently about going to a place where I had never gone and I didn't know how to get to. This comes from back in April. April 30th, I married Emily, as many of you know. And directly following our marriage, our ceremony, we went to North Carolina. And we'd stopped at a place along the way in Maryland at a hotel, and that was fine. You punch in the hotel in Google Maps or GPS, and it gets you there. So we were good for that part. Getting to the place where we wanted to go, though, our final destination for the week, that was another story. So we were headed to this place that we've never been to before. A place where, again, I had never been. Didn't know the route, the entire route. I didn't know where the cabin was. We didn't know the people. We didn't know what we were going to encounter. We didn't know if they were rough rednecks, or I don't know how you want to say it, but to start everything off, we had a host who owned the cabin where we were going, and we were supposed to get our information like a week before going. They never sent the information, and actually, I got that email like moments or probably an hour after leaving the hotel, where I could have printed off the pertinent information that we would need for later in the story. Well, after leaving the hotel, we drove from Maryland to North Carolina, and we got to the general location where we needed to be, the Lake Nanhatala Natural Area. As we approached the final road, I gravely realized that the GPS had lost signal. This was starting to spell trouble. And we wound our way through the Nanhatala Gorge on one of the most weavy, windy, twisty-turny roads that I've ever been on. And we moved further and higher into the Great Smoky Mountains. We arrived at the lake, surprisingly with no GPS reception or satellite or whatever. It was dusk. There was just a shimmer of light on the lake. Our task at that point was to find the entrance to where we needed to be, to where the cabin was. And so we came to this place, and it looked, I don't know, looked like where we needed to be. And I drove up. We came to this first cabin. And I get out of the truck, and I go and punch in the code to get the key. It's kind of like a real estate type deal. If you're going to look at a house, you punch in a code to get the key, pops out. Punched in the code, it didn't work. And so we were walking around the cabin trying to figure out if there's another key box. And I was like, for sure, this is the right cabin. And it wasn't. we got back into the truck, and we drove down and then back up this steep, narrow driveway to another cabin across the way. And I got out, and I went over to where the key thing was again, punched in the code, and it wouldn't come out to get the key. So this, too, was not the right cabin. However, I got back in the truck, and I realized there's not a lot of room to turn this truck around here. And so instead of a 3-point turn, I'm pretty sure I had a 15 or 20-point turn to try and get myself back down the driveway. And by that time, before getting back in the truck, we heard thunder. We saw lightning. There was a storm on the way. It had gotten dark. And I don't know if you go on these trips and you don't know where you're going, there's this angst that sets in. Well, that angst was settling in, very much so. So I did manage to get a little bit of GPS signal to where the map was. I don't know how it was working, but it was pointing us up on this mountain. But it was now taking us on the road around and down the lake. And so we followed it. We got on this road. It was blacktop for a little bit. It was getting narrower and narrower and narrower as we were going up. And by this time, it was pouring rain. The wind was blowing. Things were coming off the trees. It was thunder and lightning. It was dark. We had no clue where we were. We had no clue if anyone was around us, watching us drive around. And so I keep driving up this thing, and surely we're going to meet a road where it connects on to where we need to be. And that did not happen. We eventually pull into this plateaus and pulled into this cabin, and it definitely was not the cabin we needed to be at. But by that realization, by that time, I realized that this cabin had a super narrow driveway, and there was no way to turn around. And it was like a hill to get down in. And so backing up in the dark while it's storming, almost impossible. I need to share with you that I was borrowing my brother's truck. And, I decided to get out of the truck in the pouring rain and walk back, dark, stormy, to figure out how I'm going to get this truck out, because I did not want to have to report to my brother that his truck was stuck on the side of a mountain. I walked back and I figured right over the little hump was an area. There's a bank, and I could turn the truck around. And on the side of me was a steep bank going down. And I was able to, after several tries, get the truck turned around, and we were on our way. But that was after knocking down there along my edge with a steep decline. There was like a telephone pole or a log, and, well, I'd brushed up against that with the truck, and it was kind of slid down the side of the way anyways. So we had left that area, and I decided, okay, we need to go back to where we were. That, at least the sign to the entrance, looked familiar from what I was looking at online. So we went back to that area. And I should know, while we were up at that place, essentially I thought we were stuck. We were tired. I can't speak for Emily. We were tired. I was tired. I was admittedly angry because our host did not send me the information, and we had no fancy, like cell phones didn't work. There was no reception. So I couldn't pull up my email and look at it that way. I thought we were stuck. So I was angry at that person. I was frustrated. I was tired. But I was also scared. But in our hour of desperation, there was only one thing that we knew to do. And that was to seek the Spirit of God to intervene in our situation, in our circumstance. So if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 17. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you have not received that Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. God's word this morning. The Apostle Paul was constantly going to places where he had never gone before. This was his vocation as a missionary. Rome was a destination on that radar. But more so this morning, I want us to look to the situation that Paul is writing to here in Romans. He doesn't write to the church at Rome, like we're used to seeing in his other letters, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Philippi. There's no to the church in Rome. It's not present there. However, there is a church there. It's very present with Jews, Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles. You see, Jews and Rome were waiting. Yes, oh boy, were they waiting a very long time. They were expecting. For the first century Jews such as Paul, Yahweh would be faithful to the promises made to the patriarchs. Many Jews in Rome saw Israel's story, including the biblical story, as a story still in search of a conclusion. A conclusion to be determined by the faithfulness of their God. Although the Babylonian exile had long been over, the promises that were made, promises of glorious restoration of the nation, the temple, the whole Jewish way of life, were widely regarded still as waiting for complete fulfillment. Loyal Jews continued to tell the whole story in terms of promises made by God, from generation to generation to generation. The Gentile Christians in Rome were simply happy to be a part of the church. They were happy to be free from the pagan ways of bondage, from the pagan worship of those gods. But they were waiting for something too. They were waiting for Paul. They were waiting for his encouragement. They were waiting to be empowered. What do we see happen in Scripture when Israel is left to wait for long periods of time? They get impatient. They get bored. They become discouraged. They start to believe that God has abandoned them. And I'm pointing to Exodus here. How many times does Israel have to wait on God or wait on Moses until they become impatient just to find out that God was with them? The whole time. God was with them when they were wandering in the wilderness. God was with them when Moses went up on the mountain. Paul does something here, though, in Romans. He surprises the Jews and the Gentiles who are waiting. He surprises the socks off of them. And his message is this: that the promises that they have been waiting for, the promises that have been passed down generation to generation to generation, the promises to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that these promises have been fulfilled through what God has done through Jesus the Messiah, his death and his resurrection. Say what? Say what? That God's future, what God had promised, had arrived in the present, in the person and achievement of Jesus, and the power of his Spirit. It's completely was just upended everything for them. That the waiting for Israel was over. And now they were in Christ. Paul says to them in verse 11, essentially this, and for some this may sound familiar, that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. Woohoo! The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. We have all stood in lines before. Whether it's at the movies, it's at a sporting event, a favorite restaurant. I'm thinking of Mother's and Father's Day, standing in long lines, your tummy growling, ready to eat, ready to go. Common to them all is waiting. You have no control over when you get in to see the movie, or when you get in to see the sporting event, or when you get seated, or when you get to eat. Sometimes our impatience sets in. Sometimes we get antsy. Sometimes we want to push through. We want to get to the movie. We want to get to our seat to watch the sporting event. We want to get to the food. I think sometimes we can get lost in our waiting like the Israelites did in Exodus. The ancestors to those who Paul is speaking about. Moreover, this morning, I think we can get lost in our Christianity. Here's a paraphrase of our passage this morning from the Message, Eugene Peterson's Message. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcomed him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes into you, as he does and as he surely did to Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give a decent burial and get on with our new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are these things to do, there are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is. We know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through hard times with him, we are certainly going to go through good times with him. Here's what I'm hearing this morning from our passage. This is what I'm hearing. There's nothing for us in the sinful life, but there is life, and life becomes adventurously expectant when we are dwelled by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are given the power to confront sin and evil in our lives. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Sin, death, Satan's schemious tricks no longer have power over us. Rather, we have the power to square off with them because we are empowered by the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. For those suffering silently with silent illness, anxiety, depression, MS, cancer, and others, find strength and power in the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Confront it. Square off with it. Because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, resurrection power, lives in us. For those suffering with brokenness, loneliness, addiction, bitterness, selfishness, the list goes on and on and on. Find strength and power in the same power that resurrected Jesus. Confront it. Square off with it. Because you got resurrection power. Paul was telling the Jews their period of time, their period of waiting was over. Prophecies were fulfilled. You now have the power to confront sin and death in your life because the power of the Messiah lives in you. Just as he called out the Jews to live in the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, Paul calls us out. Paul's calling to us to live in that same power, that same resurrection power. The Spirit of the triune God, if you have accepted Christ, lives within you. We did finally arrive. We were completely vulnerable that night. Sitting there at that cabin, we looked hopelessly, as no way out. Angered, frustrated, tired, scared. But we knew to seek out the Spirit of our Heavenly Father and pray. Lord, would you intervene in our current circumstance? We're tired. We're, yes, a little scared. There's a thunderstorm. It's dark out. We don't know where we are. We had left that place. I was able to get us out. Like I said, it probably took 20 times, but we went back to where we originally were because I knew that sign had looked familiar. I think I had something to El Shaddai Estates or something like that. And we went up the road, and there was a narrower road and a steeper road. And we had originally thought, surely we don't have to go up there. But we had decided we needed to get there. And I gunned it up, and we came to a plateau. A rustic-looking cabin was sitting there. We knew that wasn't it. And then there was another bend and another narrow road upward up the mountain more. So we went up that road and we arrived. The relief. Now we had to unpack the truck in the rain, but the relief to have arrived. Our waiting was over. We have access to the greatest power known to mankind. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. What are you doing with this power? Scripture says that those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior are filled with the Holy Spirit, and by default, wield the same power. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. But the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Resurrection power. What I do want to and think is important to mention this morning is that this power is within the bounds of God's will. but we still have access to it. We can still pray. We can still ask God to intervene. By the way of the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, we have this power that enables us to overcome everything that life has to throw at us. From a far-reaching and overpowering government to our own personal struggles. So do you stand idle and waiting, not wanting to fully access the power, the Spirit of God? The wait is over. God has come. The kingdom of God has already broken into the world through Jesus. Or do you today want to be the Christian who is fully aware that the Spirit of God dwells within you? And by that means, the resurrection power lives within you. Living every day adventurously expectant, greeting God with, "What's next, Dad? What's next, Papa?" We should be so motivated by the Spirit that we are not okay with our surroundings. That there are people who walk by us in the store, who walk by us on the street, walk by us at the market, at work, that we don't know, that don't know his power, that don't know Christ. We should be so moved by that same power that rose Jesus from the grave that we want to overcome our own personal struggles, give them to God, and get to work for God and where he wants to use us in his kingdom. I don't know how you received this morning. All I know is if I have access to resurrection power, I don't want to stand idle, enjoying the show, enjoying the view. I want the Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, to help me overcome and to use me wherever he sees fit. Let's pray. Spirit of the most holy living God, we thank you this day that we have access to the same power that rose Jesus, your son, from the grave. And that if we are Christians, that power dwells within us. It is there. Lord, help us today to seek you, to seek you out, to overcome personal struggles. Help us to seek you out and how you want to use us for the furthering and building of your kingdom. May we be a community of faith that allows your Spirit, your power, to flow through us, to change us, to transform us, and to use us. We love you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do in our lives. Blessings abundant. Lord God, bless the remainder of our day. Help us to find rest in you this day, that you created for rest. Bless this upcoming week, Lord. Help us to see where you are at work around us and for us to jump in. Give you all the honor, glory, and praise, Lord God. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.